Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good weekend. It's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review, where we take a look back at some of our most compelling segments of the week. Give you a chance to re-listen or catch up on stuff that maybe you missed. Enjoy. Hey, hope everyone is enjoying their weekend. We've had so many interesting conversations and insights into the cases we're following for you this week. Wanted to play back some of the ones I found most compelling in the last 7 days. Here's one of them. In our Week in Review.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our updates, episodes, and discussions on the cases that we are following for you. You can even get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free if you sign up there. We're talking about the Brian Koberger case today with Dr. John Delatorre, licensed psychologist. And let's just dive right into this. John, what I want to start out with is the job termination timeline of Brian Koberger that we've learned about in the last just handful of days. September 23rd, an altercation with a professor. October 3rd, meeting to discuss professional behavior. October 21st, received email about his failure to meet expectations. November 2nd, meeting to discuss improvement plan. December 7th, meeting to discuss improvement plan progress. December 9th, second altercation with professor. On December 19th, he was officially terminated. It's a haunting timeline when you really look at the details of it in comparison to when these crimes were committed. And some of the things that were discussed allegedly in these meetings, including his harsh grading of specifically female students and his sexist comments that apparently had been made in class and on campus to females. It's very much par for the course for what we've understood thus far and speculated about Koberger and his anger issues towards women or the idea of him possibly being an incel. I'm curious to get your thoughts.
I mean, it's not surprising. You know, it's one of those things where having these beliefs usually will be expressed in some way. Now, generally speaking, whoever has a delusion about something, right? And I use delusion simply to mean that it is someone with a fixed and false belief system that is clearly incorrect. Mm-hmm. What happens is that, for the most part, the person can keep it under wraps, right? Just because someone has a delusion doesn't mean that anybody on the outside is ever going to know it. But there will be times in which those delusional thinking, right, that delusional thinking will be expressed. So if he was someone who believed himself to be, you know, of a more higher value than women, if he believed himself to be entitled to certain things from women, then he's absolutely going to exhibit behaviors like that towards women, particularly for those that he believes may be challenging to his power and authority, such as women that are getting a college education.
Is it that someone like Koberger is upset about? Is it really kind of a class thing, or is it more so, I've been rejected by women my entire life, and now I have this beef with attractive young women in general because I can't seem to attract them or hold any sort of relationship with them. And he doesn't seem to be one that realizes it's not them, it's him.
Well, what I would say to that is there isn't really much of a difference between whether it's a part of the established patriarchal system of oppression that we all live under, mm-hmm. or is it just simply something that's autogenic and innate, something that came from him? What I would say is that the distinction between, is it someone who just believes that all of these problems are self-inflicted, right? What I mean is that what other people are going through, he only cares about what he's going through, or is it something where there's a much bigger issue at a systematic way of oppression that has influenced him? And I would say they're both one and the same. I mean, one comes from the other.
Sure.
Whether it's the system influencing him or him influencing the system, either way, this is someone who does not believe that everybody is equal, that he believes himself to be entitled to other kinds of things. And he's demonstrating this by being harder on a group of individuals. Now, whether they're attractive women or not, I think is kind of inconsequential for him. Mm-hmm. I think the target of, you know, the individuals that he potentially has killed, I think that their attractiveness is certainly an aspect, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the women that he is rating harder, you know, harder than, he didn't view them as sexually attractive. He just viewed them as women. And because he viewed them as women, in his mind, they are simply second class and should be treated stricter than a man.
How does one develop that way of thinking? Is that something that is kind of brought on through your upbringing, through parenting, through viewing others' actions? Or is this something that, I mean, it almost seems somewhat of a character flaw, of a personality defect or a personality disorder of some sort, where one has this bizarre view of women, almost wanting to have the relationships. But when he goes to sit down for dinner with one, he's very awkward. He doesn't really know how to conduct himself in a what one consider appropriate way in common society.
Well, I think that I think a lot of it comes from the idea of social learning theory, which is this idea that for the most part, we're born kind of as I don't want to say blank slates, because that's not what I mean, but we're very impressionable. And so all of the influences from our parents, from primary caregivers, right, from music, media, right, everything plays a role. And until we're able to actually demonstrate the behaviors associated with the things that we learned growing up, we're just taking it in. We're just soaking it all up as a sponge, that it's certainly possible that he viewed a society in which he saw people that were less than, and he viewed them and that they had specific characteristics. Those people that are less than him have similar characteristics. And so if those individuals come into his life that have those characteristics, he's not going to know how to interact with them. He's not going to know what to do. He's not going to know what to say or how to be in an appropriate manner, because there's an underlying sense. And I know some people are going to say, well, isn't Dr. Delatorre describing narcissism? I'm not describing narcissism. What I'm describing is a way in which individuals perceive the world around them. And because he would view himself of a higher status than other individuals, people with a higher status don't know how to interact with people of a disparate status. So I would not be surprised then that as he attempts to make connections, which everybody wants a connection, but as he attempts to make them, and as the individuals he interacts with demonstrate qualities that are associated with a lesser than, he's going to really struggle. He's going to really not have an ability to interact appropriately.
It's so interesting how that all develops and then how it all plays out. With this going on, how much do you think getting fired or being talked to initially, having to sit down and have these performance reviews and such affected or triggered him in the crime itself? Was it a blow to his ego? Maybe he has a pet eagle. That might be something that we just learned about. Does he look to commit this crime as, oh, you're going to fire me, I'm not good enough, I'll show you? Or how does that equate?
I think that's part of it. I would be very interested. And I think you hit on something right here, Tony, that it's not necessarily the firing. I'm sure firing was very traumatic and very stressful for him, but it's the initial talking to. It's the initial understanding that someone didn't think that what you were doing was okay. And if that individual who did speak to him initially, because I imagine the process is first you get a warning, then, you know, then it accumulates up until a firing. If that professor was a woman, I could see him starting down the path of, I'm going now to sort of set right. The women in you know, that are surrounding me are trying to bring me down. I can absolutely see that being an impetus. Is it the cause? No, it's not the cause. He chose to do this. He's the cause of why he did what he did. But he has to rationalize. He has to justify. He has to make an excuse in his mind as to why this is okay. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the issue that led to this event occurring, right? The four deaths that he's alleged to have committed. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the path that got him on the way to do it.
I think we've all run across people in our life that kind of have this sort of disposition in their way of living life and how they perceive things and then how they act out, whether it be sexist or whether it be racist or whether it be something that puts them above others in their mind. And it could be income, it could be education, it could be anything that someone puts themselves up onto this pedestal. And then when they get knocked down, it's a much harder blow to them than it is to others. It's the reason why narcissists don't ever want to, it's difficult for them to ever face what they're doing because it totally shatters their view of themselves. Is there a way, is there anything that can be done in life to prevent someone from going down this extreme dark path? Obviously, many people that, you know, we've probably known don't go that far, but the signs are there that if you heard down the road that so-and-so did something like this and you knew kind of how their personality was, I know plenty of people I wouldn't be that surprised with.
Well, here's the thing. The person has to want to.
Sure.
The first thing that is going to be required is a self-awareness, right? An insight that there's something going on, a realization that the interactions that we have with individuals are meant to teach us about how we are interacting with those individuals. They're not meant as slights, although some people absolutely can be very mean and be purposeful in trying to hurt your feelings. That certainly can happen. But that's still a lesson, right? Mm-hmm. The individuals who try to hurt us, right, who are mean to us, and they're doing it because they know that they can get away with it. So we have to make the choice to say, those are just words, you're not impacting me. So it requires a level of self-awareness and self-insight that some individuals don't want to have, because it is very painful to learn that there are people that just don't like you. And so, you know, it on the path of, you know, stopping the racist and misogynistic, to stop this patriarchal system of oppression that we live under, it's going to require that each individual take a self-appraisal and say, how am I contributing to this level of oppression? What am I doing and how am I going to move forward to break that system? Some people just can't do it.
Yeah, that's the question. Is it a question of wanting to or literally being incapable of doing? I know some of the explanations that I've heard when I've studied borderline personalities and such and why they're so difficult to work with for folks in your profession is because it's almost nearly impossible to ever break through to them. To have them make these sort of realizations and such. And it's not so much I don't want to, it's more of an incapable way of an incapable way of thinking, that they just can't do it. Is that true? Is that something that exists where some people just will never be able to wrap their mind around some of these things to correct their lives so they don't go down these extreme roads?
I think so. I think there are individuals that they just don't have the skills necessary in order to do that. But I think for the most part, it is more about a wanting to, because it requires, again, the wanting to change requires pain. It requires stress. It requires a lot of very negative and very difficult emotional states to go through, because you have to recognize that's what makes you a whole human being. Mm-hmm. By simply trying to repress parts of who you are, you only become a portion of who you are supposed to be. And so if you don't want to, now, yes, again, there are some people that can't, but if you don't want to do it because it's too painful, then you're missing out on a whole experience of life that's there to teach you how to be a better person.
I'm curious to get your take on some of the opinions that are coming out right now about the knife and the knife sheath. John Kelly, a psychotherapist with experience in interviewing serial killers, said to Fox News Digital, if you took a pistol out of your holder, wouldn't you put it back in? Also saying, I don't know anybody who wouldn't. And if I went fishing and had to take my knife out, I'd put it back in the sheath. Did Koberger leave evidence on purpose? That's the question with the knife sheath right now, whether either to leave a piece there for whatever bizarre reason he may have, or to throw people off, thinking that it may be military or something of that nature, being that there was some military insignia on the knife itself or on the knife sheath itself.
I think, you know, a lot of people are trying to put too much of a planner inside, you know, I think they're trying to imprint this, you know, well-organized individual and Brian Koberger. I think that they're trying to conflate the two. Here's the reality. It is very strange that a knife sheath, right, if it would have been strapped through his belt, that it fell off, right? It would be very strange. But the truth is that, you know, when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, right, this violent act, why would he think about putting the knife away, right? He's thinking about moving from one person to the next to engage in the behaviors that he had been fantasizing about. There's no guarantee that he's actually thinking clearly and logically. He's simply thinking about completing the task at hand, the mission at hand, the thing that he's been thinking about. This idea that, you know, I would put my gun back in my holster. I don't even know what that means. He didn't use a gun. He used a knife. And I understand that this was sort of, you know, an example of why someone would do something like this, but you don't use a gun the same way that you use a knife. And plus, if he's going through all of these stabbing motions, he's probably got a hand cramp. He might not be able to let go of the knife. So I don't think he planted evidence. I think people are attributing a lot of things to him that are just simply are not true.
I would have to agree with you. I'm going to continue to roll my eyes at that assumption because I keep seeing it, and it feels like, okay, we're really digging here, aren't we? We're trying to put more into this than is actually there. And I think that's an important thing to be aware of as this continues forward. Dr. John De La Torre, thank you so much for your insights on the Koberger case, as obviously it continues to move forward slowly but surely. Always appreciate your insight. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our discussions and breaking updates on this and the other cases that we are following for you right here. Get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts right now when you go there and become a premium subscriber. Get access to all of our episodes with no commercials. Until next time, for all of us here, I am Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.